الحمد لله رب العالمين، وصلى الله وسلم وبارك على نبينا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه ومن تبعهم بإحسان إلى يوم الدين وسلم تسليما كثيرا. أما بعد، all praise is due to Allah and we ask Allah to exalt, dimension and grant peace to the Prophet Muhammad صلى الله عليه وسلم, his companions and all those who follow them on the righteous path until the day of judgment. Brothers in Islam, we continue discussing the quality of al-wajh, or another synonym for face is countenance in the English language. Countenance, which is countenance. If you look it up in the dictionary, it's either face or facial expression. So, but one of the meanings is countenance, because I found some of the translations using that particular word. So I'm just letting you be aware of that, just in case you come across that word, you will not think that it means something else. Countenance means face. But before I continue, I wanted to give you the accurate translation of the hadith that we quoted last time, so we may be on the safe side. The hadith says like this: حجابه النور, and in one narration, أو النار لو كشفه. وعليكم السلام. لأحرقت سبحات وجهه من تهى إليه بصره من خلقه. This is a hadith of Abu Musa al-Ash'ari رحمة الله رضي الله عنه وارضاه. It says, the hadith in English means, his cover is radiance or fire. If he uncovers it, then the brightness of his face will burn up the creatures up to the end of his sight. Better than what we had last week in terms of wording. Khalas? His cover is radiance or fire. If he uncovers it, then the brightness of his face, of Allah Azza wa Jal, will burn up the creatures up to the end of his sight. And we said the sight of Allah, does it have any limitations? No. That means everything will be burnt. Nothing will remain, but there's a cover. And so we are all alive today, and nobody's burnt accordingly. And of course, in this, there's a refutation to the people who say that Allah is everywhere. Because Allah, if Allah was everywhere, then everything would be burnt already. And there would be no darkness, because Allah is Nur. So, you know, we have a lot of ways to refute these people with their deviance. Anyways, continuing with where we stopped last time. Al-Jalal, يقول الشيخ رحمه الله أن الآية ويبقى وجه ربك ذو الجلال والإكرام. Hopefully we'll memorize the verses. ذو الجلال, we said the possessor of جلال. The Shaykh said جلال معناه العظمة, العظمة أو السلطان. عظمة is greatness, like العظيم, and سلطان is authority. ما أنزل الله به من سلطان. سلطان means authority, being in authority or having authority and things of this nature. والإكرام هي مصدر من أكرم. إكرام is like honor. Honor. نعم. مصدر is like an infinitive or verbal noun. Infinitive or verbal noun. من أكرم, from the word أكرم, is derived from أكرم. صالح للمكرم وللمكرم والمكرم. And it works both ways, with the one being honored and with the one honoring. So إكرام encompasses both. The one honoring, which is who in this case? Allah. And the one being honored, which we will deal with soon, inshallah. فالله سبحانه وتعالى مكرم. مكرم. Actually, there's no تشكيل, so I'm figuring it out. Okay. Allah Azza wa Jal is honored. وإكرامه تعالى القيام بطاعته. How do you honor Allah Azza wa Jal? By establishing obedience to Him. By worshipping Him. ومكرم لمن يستحق الإكرام. And he is mukrim, the one who bestows honor to he who deserves to be honored. من خلقه بما أعد له من الثواب. And he bestows his honor upon whomever he wishes from his servants. How? Through the reward that he has prepared for them, the goodness that he has prepared for them. So Allah will honor you by giving you reward of goodness for the good deeds that you have performed. فهو لجلاله وكماله وسلطانه وعظمته أهل لأن يكرم ويثنى عليه سبحانه وتعالى وإكرام كل أحد بحسبه. He, the exalted, the perfect in His authority, the great, deserves to be honored and to be praised, subhanahu wa ta'ala, and you know, in a fashion that befits His majesty. فَإِكْرَامُ اللَّهِ أَن تُقَدِّرَهُ حَقَّ قَدْرِهِ. So you honor Allah by recognizing the status of Allah, the way it's due to Him. وَأَن تُعَظِّمَهُ حَقَّ تَعْظِيمِهِ. And that you magnify Him, the way that He deserves it. لَا لِحْتِيَاجِهِ إِلَى إِكْرَامِكَ. Not because Allah needs you to honor Him. Pay attention, this woman have many misconceptions here. وَلَكِنْ لِيَمُنَّ عَلَيْكَ بِالْجَزَاءِ. Rather for you to get that reward of goodness. That you the, يعني we said in the last lecture for those who were able to attend, that when you give, Allah gives you everything, and then we say you're supposed to give back. But really giving back is giving to yourself, because Allah doesn't need it. Allah gives you everything, and when you give back, it's not that Allah needs what you give Him back from thankfulness or from worship or from ibadah. Allah doesn't need it. So when you give back, you really give Him back to yourself. So at the end of the day, it's a win-win situation. Allah gives you, you give back, and you give Him back to yourself because you will gain. But some people don't want to do that. SubhanAllah. After all this, we still don't want to, Allah musta'an, and somehow we have major misconceptions about what we're supposed to do in this deen of Islam. على كل حال الآية الثانية. This was the first ayah dealing with the face, which was in Surah Al-Rahman. كل من عليها فان ويبقى وجه ربك ذو الجلال والإكرام. Second ayah is in Surah Al-Qasas, verse 88. It says كل شيء هالك إلا وجهه. Everything will perish save His face. Everything will perish save His face. يعني except, save means except here. قوله كل شيء هالك أي فان كقوله كل من عليها فان. That expression is similar to كل من عليها فان. Everything will perish. هالك and فان are synonymous in this occasion. يعني they will come to cease, they will end, they will cease to end, excuse me. وقوله إلا وجه توازي قوله ويبقى وجه ربك ذو الجلال والإكرام. And the second part of the ayah إلا وجه is equal to the second part of Surah Al-Rahman ويبقى وجه ربك ذو الجلال والإكرام. So the meaning is one and the same, but different wording of the ayat. فالمعنى كل شيء فان, كل شيء فان وزائل إلا وجه الله عز وجل. The meaning is everything shall perish and come to an end and accept the face of your Lord, the Exalted. فَإِنَّهُ بَاقٍ. Verily it will remain. وَلِهَذَا قَال وَأَيْكُمْ سَلَامُ لَهُ الْحُكْمُ وَإِلَيْهِ تُرْجَعُونَ. لَهُ الْحُكْمُ وَإِلَيْهِ تُرْجَعُونَ. He is the His is the decision, and to him you shall be returned. فهو الحكم الباقي الذي يرجع إليه الناس يحكم بينهم. So he is the one who will remain as a judge, in order to judge His creation or the mankind when they go back to Him on the Day of Judgment. وقيل في معنى الآية كل شيء هالك إلا وجه أي إلا ما أريد به وجه. And some other مفسرين said that the interpretation of the meaning is of that ayah, that everything shall perish except or save His face. They said that whatever was done for His sake. يعني you find often that they say نعم. So now you hear often the people saying لوجه الله, right? For the face of Allah, meaning for the sake of Allah. So some of the Mufassirin said what is intended with this ayah, that every deed that you will do will perish except that which was done for the sake of Allah. See how they interpret it. One of the interpretations. قالوا لأن سياق الآية يدل على ذلك. They said the reason why we say that, because the context, and the context is that which comes before and that which comes after from the text. This is one of the meanings. The context indicates that. If you go to the original ayah, it says ولا تدعوا مع الله إلها آخر لا إله إلا هو كل شيء هالك إلا وجهه. The ayah begins by saying, so do not invoke any other gods with Allah. None has the right to be worshipped but He. Everything shall perish save His face. So they said, كأنه يقول لا تدعو مع الله إلها آخر فتشرك به. As if it is being said, do not associate with Allah any other gods, meaning by worshipping others with Him. لأن عملك وإشراكك هالك, because your deeds and your association shall perish. أي ضائع سدي من سدى, it will be of no value, it will be in vain, in vain. إلا ما أخلصته لوجه الله, except that which you were sincere to the, for the face, for the sake of Allah. Except that which you do for the sake of Allah. فأنه يبقى, verily it shall remain. لأن العمل الصالح له ثواب باق لا يفنى في جنات النعيم. Because the good deed is permanent, has a permanent reward that will never perish in the gardens of delight. جنات النعيم, gardens of delight, meaning in Jannah. Yeah, you will continue to benefit from the deeds that you did today, inshallah, if we all enter Jannah, in Jannah, permanently, because of maybe subhanallah, or some da'wah you made to non-Muslim, or some enjoining good, forbidden evil. That's why the Prophet ﷺ said, لا تحقرن من المعروف شيئا. Do not belittle any good deed. Don't belittle any. He said, even if you were to smile at your brother while speaking to him, ذلك من المعروف. This is part of good deeds. So don't belittle anything. You don't know that deed, that one small deed, when your scales are even, and that deed will be put on the scale of good deeds, it will outweigh the bad deeds, and you'll be saved from the hellfire. One deed, you never know what it is. So don't belittle anything. ولكن المعنى الأول أشد وأقوى. The first meaning though is more stronger in terms of strength of the استدلال.
The second meaning, the context of means for the sake of Allah.
Is that what you say? Yeah. وعلى طريقة من يقول بجواز استعمال المشترك في معنيه, نقول يمكن أن نحمل الآية على المعنيين في معنيه, عفوا, نقول يمكن أن نحمل الآية على المعنيين. According to those who say that we can carry, the ayah may carry more than one meaning, which was the position of Sheikh Sa'di rahimahullah ta'ala, which is the Sheikh of Ibn Uthaymeen, which is a very valid position, that the ayah, if it can accommodate more than one meaning, where there is no contradiction in the actual meanings, then you accept both interpretations, even more, as long as there's no contradiction. For example, ثلاثة قروء was mentioned in the Quran, dealing with the waiting period for the divorced woman, or the one whose husband has died. And so Quru, the scholars have differed whether it means Hayd, the actual menstrual cycle, or being in a state of purity afterwards. So the ulama differed in terms of interpreting that word, you see. So now we cannot say, wallah, the verse may carry both meanings, because it's either that, it's either this or that. But in other ayat, which there's more than one interpretation, and they are harmonious, there's no contradiction between them, then many of the ulama say, then the Quran is described as being majid, glorious, meaning rich, and so you cannot try to limit it to one meaning when it can accommodate more than one meaning. So you keep that generality in order to keep the Quran in the fashion Allah described it, that it can accommodate many different teachings in one small verse. So this is one of them. The Shaykh said, يمكن أن نحمل آية على المعنيين. We could accept both interpretations for this one ayah. إذ لا منافاة بينهما, since there's no contradiction between them. فتحمل على هذا وهذا. So it is understood in this way and that way. فيقال كل شيء يفنى إلا وجه الله عز وجل. So we say then, everything shall come to perish except the face of Allah عز وجل. وكل شيء من الأعمال يذهب هباء إلا ما أريد به وجه الله. And every deed will also be of no benefit. It will be in vain except that which Allah's face is sought, meaning except that which was done for the sake of Allah عز وجل. وقدمنا إلى ما عملوا من إلى ما عملوا من عمل فجعلناه هباء منثورا. Allah tells us in Surah Al-Furqan, so we came to what they have done from deeds, so we made it like dust. هباء منثورا, dust that just descends, that just flies, you know, the one that you see at the reflection of the sun. Nothing. It will be in vain because they did not have the foundation of Iman where you could actually build good deeds upon. So they had that on the Day of Judgment, their deeds will be of no value because it wasn't for the sake of Allah. Any kafir, any Christian any Jew, any Hindu, any Buddhist that appears to be doing some good work outwardly is in essence doing it for the sake of a false god. One, or is doing it for reputation. They're seeking reputation for the people to praise them. They don't really focus on the idea of sincerity. But that's why you find them often brag about what they have done and what they have done and things in this nature, which is not really Islamic to sit there and tell the people what you have been doing from good deeds unless the situation allows it, where you think that the people will get a reminder, you'll be encouraging them. Otherwise, if you've been praying at night, you don't tell the brother the next day, "Wallah, I was praying all night last night." So he will say, "Oh, mashallah, you're a big sheikh, you're a big sheikh." Similarly, with one of the Sahaba, he was bit by a scorpion, something along these lines. And so he was speaking to the other brother. He told him, "Did you see the moon last night?" And he told him, "Yes, but not because I was praying at night, but because I was bit by the scorpion. I happened to be up at that time, not because I was worshipping." But he didn't want the brother to think that good of him. So he had to ala tool explain himself, "Listen, I was up at that time, not because I'm a devout worshipper, because some scorpion had bit me and so I was up handling my business." But nowadays it's the other way around. If the brother didn't know, we must go out of our way to let him know that, send him, Allah musta'an. We're not going to pick on anyone here, beginning with myself. Allah musta'an. Anyways, we need to just work on this issue of ikhlas. Wallahu waliyu tawfiq. Hasanan. وعلى أي تقديرين ففي الآية دليل على ثبوت الوجه لله عز وجل. Whichever way you look at it, what does the ayah confirm? That Allah عز وجل has a face. A face like what? Does anyone know? Has anyone seen anything like Allah?
No.
What's the ayah that is our foundation? لَيْسَ كَمِثْلِهِ شَيْءٍ مَا سَحَمْدِ اللَّهِ It's memorized now. لَيْسَ كَمِثْلِهِ شَيْءٍ وَهُوَ السَّمِيعُ الْبَصِيرُ There's nothing like unto Him. Case closed. No one can speak anything afterwards. When Allah tells you there's nothing like unto Him, you cannot come and say, "But and on." خَلَص. It's done. Alhamdulillah, this is understood.
But you know the context which you explained, the second interpretation. He said it means the sake of Allah. So how is that fake? What I understood was...
No, because... Wa alaykum salam. Because, Habibi, it is an expression that is used, meaning for the face of Allah, meaning for Allah. Because we will see as we continue now, that when the face is spoken of, it actually represents Allah Azza wa Jal Himself. You will see. We're coming to that. You will see what is intended soon, inshallah. We're just around the corner. طيب. Right now, actually. وهو من الصفات الذاتية الخبرية. Do you guys remember that? It is from the صفات الذاتية, personal, خبرية, informative. التي مسماها بالنسبة إلينا أبعاد وأجزاء. That in our language, it is considered to be parts and pieces. But pay attention. According to us, when we think of al-akhbar, al-sifat, al-khabariyya, al-dhatiyya, dealing with Allah's face, Allah's eyes, Allah's hands, Allah's foot, when we hear those, to us we think of body parts. To us, not to Allah Azza wa Jal. But the Shaykh is trying to show you how in what context you can understand al-dhatiyya al-khabariyya. وَلَا نَقُول مِنَ الصِّفَاتِ الذَّاتِيَّ الْمَعْنَوِيَّ And we do not say it is from the abstract, personal qualities. وَلَوْ قُلْنَا بِذَلِكْ لَكُنَّا نُوَافِكُ مَنْ تَأَوَّلَهُ تَحْرِيفًا We will be agreeing with those who distort the meaning of these ayat. وَلَا نَقُول إِنَّا بَعْضٌ مِنَ اللَّهِ We do not say it's part of Allah. We don't say that these are parts of Allah, as you have body parts, if you have a face, you have hands, you have eyes. So when we speak about these in terms of Allah, we don't consider them to be parts. Is that clear? Hey, أو جزء من الله or like the same thing, a piece. لأن ذلك يوهم نقصا لله سبحانه وتعالى because this entails some deficiency in Allah Azza wa Jal, and you know that Allah Azza wa Jal is when you say Subhanallah, you are glorifying Allah above any imperfection, above any deficiency, and saying that Allah has body parts entails deficiency. You see what I'm saying? So we don't approve that. We don't say that because there's no Quran or hadith that even approves that. So that's just one way to deal with it. هذا وقد فسر أهل التحريف وجه الله بثوابه. The people of tahrif, those who distort the meaning, they explained the face of Allah as Allah's reward. ثواب, huh? يثيب, ثواب. So they said what is intended by the face of Allah is reward strictly. فقالوا المراد بالوجه في الآية ثواب كل شيء يفنى إلا ثواب الله. So they said what is intended in this ayah is reward, meaning everything will perish except the reward of Allah. طيب, do they have the right to do that? Do they have the right to do that?
We should not change the meaning.
A.
But at the same time, we should not consider this as a part of Allah.
But this is irrelevant right now. The idea, it's not a part. It doesn't matter. We said this, Allah has a face. Case closed. Don't worry about the part or not the part. This is a separate issue. Do you have the right to come to the Quran where Allah says, wajh, wajhullah, and we know what the word wajh means in the Arabic language.
Please.
Do you have the right to come and say that this means the reward?
No.
No one has the right to do that.
No.
Because they're saying indirectly that there are subliminal messages in the Quran, and the Quran is not huda, it's a book of confusion, and it requires people to go into further interpretations for hidden meanings. And the Quran does not become mubeen, as Allah called it often in the Quran, manifest, clear. Clarify, you see? So they're trying to give now some hidden meanings, which we say this is not the case. We understand what the word means, and we accept it as such, while understanding that there's nothing like Allah. You see what I'm saying? So this is what is intended by refuting them, because you don't have the right. Unless there's another ayah which interprets that, which explains that the faith it means that, or a hadith from Prophet ﷺ where he explained, as we mentioned earlier, when he explained to the Sahaba that the word zulm in that ayah meant shirk, and it didn't mean the regular wrongdoing that one may do. If we had something that explained, then of course it's also part of revelation, we accept the revelation. But if this is not the case, then we say you have no right to say that what is intended by faith is reward. Based on what? Now we will see how linguistically this is not feasible. Linguistically, you cannot say that. ففسروا الوجه الذي هو صفة كمال فسروه بشيء مخلوق بائن عن الله قابل للعدم والوجود. So they have interpreted the face, which is a quality of perfection of Allah Azza wa Jal. They explained it as some creation. ثواب. ثواب is a creation that is separate from Allah, possibly existing and possibly not existing. Allah may reward, Allah may not reward. فالثواب حادث بعد أن لم يكن. Reward only is an event that takes place after being non-existing, right? It's something that is it generated. It wasn't there. After you do the deed, then the ثواب comes accordingly. وجائز أن يرتفع, and maybe it will be removed altogether. لولا وعد الله ببقاء, had Allah not promised that the reward will remain, لكان من حيث العقل جائزا أن يرتفع عن الثواب, meaning it would have been intellectually accepted that the reward will be removed, meaning the reward that it will go up, it will ascend. فهل تقولون الآن إن وجه الله الذي وصف الله به نفسه من باب الممكن أو من باب الواجب؟ So he said, now we ask you a question. The face of Allah which he had described himself with, عز وجل, does it fall under that which is possible, or that which is compulsory?
Compulsory.
Compulsory, right? Because it's Allah. There's no possibility it could exist, it could not exist. إذا فسروه بالثواب صار من باب الممكن الذي يجوز وجوده وعدمه. If they said what is intended by faith is ثواب, then we have this problem. Because ثواب is something that may exist and may not exist, so now they have made the face of Allah Azza wa Jal the same. وقولهم مردود بما يلي. We refute them with the following. أولا أنه مخالف لظاهر اللفظ, فإن ظاهر اللفظ أن هذا وجه خاص وليس هو الثواب. First, this opposes the apparent meaning of the terms and the wording, as we said earlier. Because the apparent meaning of the word means that this is a special, this is face. And it does not indicate anything about reward. There's no such indication in the ayah. ثانياً أنه مخالف لإجماع السلف. Secondly, and this is very fundamental, it opposes the consensus of the righteous predecessors. You're going against the salaf, all of the early generations. فَمَا مِنَ السَّلَفِ أَحَدٌ قَالْ إِنَّ الْمُرَادَ بِالْوَجْهِ الثَّوَابِ. There is none, not even one from our righteous predecessors said, what is intended by face is thawab. None of them. وَهَذِهِ كُتُبُهُمْ بَيْنَ أَيْدِينَا مَزْبُورًا مَحْفُوظًا. These are their books are within our hands. It is preserved and protected. The books of the righteous predecessors, we still have them, all the way from Imam Shafi'i, Kitab al-Umm, that he wrote, and move Kitab Imam Ahmad bin Hanbal rahimahullah, and the Musnad of Imam Ahmad. Yani going back to these a'imma, okay, whatever we have from, and then of course they had memorized the statements of the Sahaba and the Tabi'een. So we have everything collected. The Shaykh said, أخرجوا لنا نصا عن الصحابة أو عن أئمة التابعين ومن تبعهم بإحسان أنهم فسروا هذا التفسير لن تجدوا إلى ذلك سبيلا أبدا. Produce one text where a Sahabi or a Tabi'i or those who followed them in goodness afterwards, one text where they explain that the that what is intended by the wajh is tawab. He said they will never be able to do so. So then when you bring this kind of interpretation, you are opposing them, because they never thought so, they never believed so. So now you're opposing the righteous predecessors, and Allah says in the Quran, وَمَن يُشَاقِقِ الرَّسُولَ مِن بَعْدِ مَا تَبَيَّنَ لَهُ الْهُدَى وَيَتَّبِعْ غَيْرَ سَبِيلِ الْمُؤْمِنِينَ نُوَلِّهِ مَا تَوَلَّى وَنُصْلِهِ جَهَنَّمْ وَسَاءَتْ مَصِيرًا. Whoever opposes the messenger after the truth has been clearly conveyed to him, and now notice the addition, and follows a path other than that of the believers. Who were the believers at the time of revelation? Who were Sahaba? Then Allah says, we will allow him to travel upon the path he has chose, but we will permit him to Jahannam, and what a terrible abode. So Allah says, anyone who opposes the messenger and chooses a path other than the path of the believers, meaning it's not enough. Not only opposes him, but he chooses a path other than that of the believers, meaning their path was the path. Then he will be entered into Jahannam. So when somebody goes against the Sahaba and the Tabi'een, with some new understanding, then this ayah becomes applicable to them. Because they're opposing the Rasul alayhi salatu salam, wa sabeel al-mu'mineen. And both those will entail, destruction. طيب. Thirdly, now we said first, the wording of the ayah doesn't support you. Second, the consensus of the Sahaba and the Tabi'in, you're going against them because we don't have any interpretation from them that necessitates what you're saying. ثالثا, هل يمكن أن يوصف الثواب بهذه الصفات العظيمة ذو الجلال والإكرام. Thirdly, can we describe ثواب with these great attributes, ذو الجلال والإكرام? Because what does the ayah say? وَيَبْقَى وَجْهُ رَبِّكَ ذُو الْجَلَالِ وَالْإِكْرَامِ. Full of majesty and honor. He says, can you even describe reward as full of majesty and honor? It doesn't make sense. The reward full of majesty and honor, subhanAllah. This is too much exaggeration. لا يمكن. He said, it's not possible. لو قلنا مثلا جزاء المتقين ذو جلال وإكرام. If we were to say the reward of the muttaqin is possessor of majesty and honor, فهذا لا يجوز أبدا. It's not permissible to say this ever. والله تعالى وصف هذا الوجه بأنه ذو جلال وإكرام. ذو الجلال والإكرام. But Allah described that face, عز وجل face, as being full of majesty and honor. So it's not even linguistically, it doesn't make sense that you describe a reward as being full of majesty and full of honor. It's not compatible. It's incompatible. طيب. رابعا, fourth, this is أهل السنة always have many ways to refute the deviant. نقول ما تقولون في قول الرسول صلى الله عليه وسلم حجابه النور لو كشفه لأحرقت سبحات وجهه من دعا إليه بصره من خلقه. The hadith we just interpreted earlier. He said, what do you say concerning that expression of the Prophet Muhammad صلى الله عليه وسلم, that his cover is radiant or fire? If he was to uncover it, then it will burn. That radiance will burn whatever from the creatures that his eyesight will reach, that the sight of Allah Azza wa Jal will reach, all of them. So how do you explain this hadith? فَهَلْ ثَوَابَ لَوْ هَذَا النُّورِ. Can reward have this kind of illumination, this kind of radiance? الَّذِي يَحْرِقُ مَنْ تَعْلَيْهِ بَصَرَ اللَّهُ مِخَلْقِ. That will burn everything that Allah's sight, subhanAllah, reaches from his creation. أَبَدًا وَلَا يُمْكِنْ. It's not possible. Is it possible that reward would burn everything? that we will all be burnt right now. SubhanAllah, yani it's very clear. Whenever they go against the foundations of the Islam and the foundations of Ahl Sunnah al-Jama'ah dealing with the names and attributes of Allah, it becomes clear the deviance. See, someone may think, wallah, this is good because they're avoiding resembling Allah to His creation. But look at what they are falling into. Look how you have distorted the Quran, given a meaning that Allah did not give, nor did He intend, nor did His Messenger, nor did the Sahaba. Yani you're deviating majorly and going against the language and the context and the ayat and the hadith, everything, simply to try to supposedly that you love Allah so much that you don't want to resemble Him to His creation. We say you could have taken the middle path. The way you feel is the way we feel. So we say there's nothing like Allah. And we affirm everything else. So we don't have to fall into all this trouble that those people have fallen into. على كل حال وبهذا عرفنا بطلان قولهم. By that we know the invalidity of that statement of theirs. It's void. وأن الواجب علينا أن نفسر هذا الوجه بما أراده الله به. And what is compulsory upon us is that we interpret the wajh, the face, the countenance, according to what Allah Azza wa Jalla had intended by using that particular word. وَهُوَ وَجْهٌ قَائِمٌ بِهِ تَبَارَكَ وَتَعَالَى. It is a face that Allah Azza wa Jalla has, مَوْصُوفٌ بِالْجَلَالِ وَالْإِكْرَامِ, described with majesty and honor. That's our position. فَإِنْ قُلْتَ. Actually, I will disregard this part because... Or shall we deal with it? Deal with it. فإن قلت هل كل ما جاء من كلمة الوجه مضافا إلى الله يراد به وجه الله الذي هو صفته. طيب. The Sheikh said, did every time the word وجه came in the Quran, every time was the intention that it is referred to Allah عز وجل. Let me rephrase that. هل كل ما جاء من كلمة الوجه مضافا إلى الله يراد به وجه الله. Okay. Okay, the word wajh came in the Quran in a number of ways. The Shaykh said, every time that word was used in reference to Allah, was the intention the face of Allah? Was the intent behind it the face of Allah? Or may there may be other meanings? What do you think? We will see. That's why I was worried that it may cause some confusion. But Allah Musta'an, we will dwell into this. طيب. فالجواب هذا هو الأصل. This is the foundation, that every time the word is used, وجه الله, then what is intended is the face of Allah. But we will see. كما في قوله تعالى ولا تطرد الذين يدعون ربهم بالغداة والعشي يريدون وجهه. And turn not away those who invoke their Lord morning and afternoon seeking His face. That's one. Surah Al-An'am, verse 52. Surah Al-Layl, verses 19 and 21. وَمَا لِأَحَدٍ عِنْدَهُ مِنْ نِعْمَةٍ تُجْزَى إِلَّا بِتِغَاءَ وَجْهِ رَبِّهِ الْأَعْلَى وَلَسَوْفَ يَرْضَى. You know the ayah. And who has no in mind, no favor from anyone to be paid back except to seek... Wait, I will say it, inshallah. Surah Al-Lail, verse 19 and 21. Inshallah, for future reference, wait, I will quote it again, as not to... I lost my track. Anyways, alhamdulillah. Except to seek the countenance of His Lord, the Most High, He surely will be pleased when He will enter paradise. Many of the Mufassirin say that this ayah was revealed for who? Abu Bakr as-Siddiq, radiallahu anhu wa ardah. It's for him, Allahu A'lam, of course. But then according to the Qaeda, do we say that that we were dealing with on Friday, can we say that this is only for Abu Bakr as-Siddiq and no one will get this? No, because al-ibra bi'umum al-lafzi la bi-khusus sabab. The idea is not conditional, confined to the reason of revelation, but the generality of the meaning. The word can accommodate everybody who does this for the sake of Allah, but this ayah was revealed for Abu Bakr as-Siddiq radiyallahu anhu wa arda.
What's the meaning of the verse then? Because you said it in that way, what's the trouble?
and who has in mind no favor from anyone to be paid back, except to seek the countenance of his Lord, the Most High, he surely will be pleased when he will enter paradise. فالأصل أن المراد بالوجه المضاف إلى الله وجه الله عز وجل الذي هو صفة من صفاته. لكن هناك كلمة اختلف المفسرون فيها وهي قوله تعالى ولله المشرق والمغرب فأينما تولوا فثم وجه الله. He said, okay, so the principle is whenever the face is referred to as Allah's face, then what is intended is the face of Allah. But, and that is a quality from the qualities of Allah. But there's a word which the Mufassireen have differed concerning. And it is one in Surah Al-Baqarah, verse 115. Allah says, and to Allah belongs the East and the West. So wherever you turn, there is the face of Allah. This is where the confusion arose. Now, how do we understand this in the right context? Worry not. Don't panic, don't freak out. There's a beautiful answer, inshallah. فَأَيْنَمَا تُوَلُّوا يعني إلى أي مكان تولوا وجوهكم عند الصلاة فَثَمَّ أي فهناك وجه الله. Meaning, in whichever direction you turn during your prayer, then there will be the face of Allah عز وجل. فَمِنْهُمْ مَنْ قَالْ إِنَّ الْوَجْهَ بِمَعْنَى الْجِهَةِ. Some said what is intended here by wajh is direction. Pay attention. Is direction. لقوله تعالى, because they're using another ayah. And this is the difference between Ahl Sunnah wal Jama'ah and the people of Tahrif. They don't have any other except their intellect. Where with Ahl Sunnah wal Jama'ah, when they do possibly interpret an ayah, other than the apparent meaning, it's based on another ayah or a hadith. Pay attention. The people of Ta'til and Tahrif and Tamthil, their ideology is that they use their intellect. Whatever that doesn't make sense, they will reject. But Ahl Sunnah wal Jama'ah, if ever they don't give the apparent meaning of the ayah, if ever, is because of another ayah or another hadith which support that, not because of intellect. That's clear. Very important that you understand that. Otherwise you think that, you know, they're doing what they're telling the people not to do. No, what do you mean? Yes? Hey, you better not think like that, man. You scare me, Ibrahim. Allah says in Surah Al-Baqarah, verse 148, وَلِكُلِّنْ وِجَّةٌ هُوَ مُوَلِّيهَا. For every nation there's a direction to which they're faced in their prayers. So now, this is the point of connection. وَلِلَّهِ الْمَشْرِقُ وَالْمَغْرِبِ فَأَيْنَمَا تُوَلُّوا فَثَمَّ وَجْهُ اللَّهِ فَأَيْنَمَا تُوَلُّوا وُجُوهَكُمْ فَأَيْنَمَا تُوَلُّوا فَثَمَّ وَجْهُ اللَّهِ. To Allah belongs the East and the West. So whichever direction you turn, there's the face of Allah. The other ayah says, for every nation, Allah gave them a wijha for them to turn. Direction. So they said, then that is like that. طيب. فالمراد بالوجه جهة. أي فثم جهة الله. So they said what is intended by wajh here in this ayah. Not all, they don't deny the fact that Allah has a face, you see. But they said in this ayah what is intended is the direction. أي فثم الجهة التي يقبل الله صلاتكم فيها. Meaning the direction which Allah will accept your prayer, which is that towards the Kaaba, not anything else. أي. قالوا لأنها نزلت في حال السفر إذا صلى الإنسان النافلة فإنه يصلي حيث كان وجهه أو إذا اشتبهت القبلة فإنه يتحرى ويصلي حيث كان وجهه أو وجهه. قالوا, they said, because it was revealed because of travel, where the person praying the voluntary prayers, then he may pray in whichever direction his face is. The Prophet ﷺ, he would be on his camel and he would pray the nawafil in whichever direction he was traveling. He would not make it a necessity to turn towards the Qibla and pray the Nafila. طيب. So they said, and if the person is not sure about the Qibla, then he will strive, and in whichever direction he prays, then that is the direction of his face. ولكن الصحيح, but hold on, this was the surprise that you guys didn't know about. ولكن الصحيح أن المراد بالوجه هنا وجه الله الحقيقي. But he said, what is correct is what is intended by this ayah is the face of Allah also. So don't worry. That interpretation was the interpretation of some of the ulama. But that's not the end of the world. You follow me? according to the Shaykh, what is the correct is that even in this ayah is still the face of Allah. So there's even that ta'wil is not necessary. That interpretation is not necessary. So you have no problem. Okay, because some of you look like you were panicking a little bit, man.
This kind of thing not giving way to those people.
Yes, exactly. This closes the door, which is the position of Shaykh al-Islam ibn Taymiyyah in his madhab. He dealt with this very often. Even with the idea which we will deal with inshallah, the nearness of Allah. Allah being near. And you know, or ma'akum, it's called al-ma'iyya, being with. Many of the scholars say, what is intended by with, is that Allah is with you, meaning in His knowledge, in His ability, in His power. Okay, and that's it. And so they did that. But Shaykh al-Islam said that if we do that, then we're giving him room. He said, no, we say, Allah is above His creation and with you. How? There's nothing like Allah. There's nothing like Allah. So for example, and he used many evidences from the Quran and the Sunnah. The Prophet ﷺ used to say during his safar, during his travel, Allahumma anta sahibu fi safar wal khalifatu fil ahl. Oh Allah, you are the companion during the travel and the caretaker of the family behind. He says, if we think in the human context, no one can be your companion during the travel and taking care of your family when you leave. We know that when you stand in salah, you say, every time you say, Alhamdulillah Rabbil Alameen, Allah says, Hamidani Abdi. Right? You say, Ar-Rahman Ar-Rahim, Allah says, Athna alayhi Abdi. When you say, oh, praise is due to Allah, the Lord of the worlds, Allah says, my servant has praised me. Okay? He says, how many people in the world are saying, Alhamdulillah Rabbil Alameen at the same time? Or one is saying Alhamdulillah Rabbil Alameen, the other one is saying Iyyaka Na'budu Wa Iyyaka Nasta'in, and each is getting an answer. How? There's nothing like Allah. So he said, even that, we understand it like that. How? There's nothing like Allah. So you can, if you think in human ways, in human context, it doesn't make sense, it's not feasible. But that's why it's Allah. Because whatever you think in terms of humans, it is not like that. It is not like that, you see? So that's a very strong position of Shaykh al-Islam ibn Taymiyyah rahimahullah. And this is the one that Shaykh ibn Uthaymeen prefers. And that does close the door for the people of Ta'wil and Ta'til, because they will say, okay, how come you interpreted this ayah? But notice, even then, the ulama, they had another ayah which supported that. Not that they were following intellect, and not that they denied the face of Allah and now they're trying to find an exit. They approved. But they said in this ayah, it may be something else. But the Shaykh said, وَلَكِنَ الصَّحِيحَ أَنَّ الْمُرَادَ بِالْوَجْهِ هُوَ وَجْهُ اللَّهُ الْحَقِيقِي هُوَ وَجْهُ اللَّهِ الْحَقِيقِي. This correct position is what is intended here by وجه in this ayah is the face of Allah Azza wa Jal in reality. أي إلى أي جهة تتوجهون فثم وجه الله سبحانه وتعالى. Whichever direction you turn, then verily there is the face of Allah Azza wa Jal. لأن الله محيط بكل شيء, because Allah encompasses everything. أي ولأنه ثبت عن النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم أن المصلي إذا قام يصلي فإن الله قبل وجهه. Because it was also affirmed that the Prophet ﷺ said that whenever the one praying goes for prayer, then really Allah will be in front of his face. Allah Azza wa Jal is in front of his face. This Prophet ﷺ said. Again, ليس كمثله شيء. The same one we said right now about the Fatiha and about the companion in the travel and the one who will be behind. Then similarly we understand these ayat and these ahadith, because you know that there's nothing like Allah Azza wa Jal. يعني Allah is facing him. ولهذا نهى أن يبصق أمام وجهه, because of that he forbade that you spit in front of you in the salah. Remember? He said, don't do that, if anything then to your left, but you don't do it in front of you. Hey. فالله يكون قبل وجهك حتى في هذه الحال. Oh, عفوا, I missed in the line. لأن الله قبل وجهه, because Allah عز وجل is facing him. Okay, in a manner which befits his majesty. فإذا صليت في مكان لا تدري أين القبلة واجتهدت وتحريت وصليت وصارت القبلة في الواقع خلفك فالله يكون قبل وجهك حتى في هذه الحال. Meaning, if you were to pray and you did not know the qibla, the direction, and you exerted your knowledge and you were seeking the right qibla, then you prayed and it turned out that the qibla was behind you, not in front of you. Even at that time, Allah Azza wa Jal is facing you. Hey, because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, this is the qualities of Allah Azza wa Jal. وَلَيْسَ كَمِثْلِهِ شَيْءٍ وَهَذَا مَعْنًا صَحِيحٌ مُوَافِقٌ لِظَاهِرِ الْآيَةِ. This is a correct meaning that it is in agreement with the wording of the ayah. This interpretation agrees with the wording of the ayah, the word wajh refer to Allah, we keep it like that. We don't have to go zigzagging, we don't have to do anything like that. إِذَا قُلْنَا فَذَمَّ جِهَةُ اللَّهِ جِهَةَ اللَّهِ وَكَانَ هُنَاكَ دَلِيلٌ سَوَاءٌ كَانَ هَذَا الدَّلِيلُ تَفْسِيرُ الْآيَةِ الثَّانِيَ فِي الْوَجْهِ الثَّانِي أَوْ كَانَ الدَّلِيلُ مَجَاءً بِهِ السُّنَّةِ فَإِنَّكَ إِذَا تَوَجَّهْتَ إِلَى اللَّهِ فِي صَلَاتِكَ فَهِيَ جِهَةُ اللَّهِ الَّتِي يَقْبَلُ اللَّهُ صَلَاتَكَ فِيهَا فَثَمَّ أَيْضًا وَجْهُ اللَّهِ حَقًّا وَحِينَئِذٍ يَكُونُ الْمَعْنَيَانِ لَا يَتَنَافَيَانِ. The Shaykh has another way to look into this whole discussion. He says, if we say that there's that direction which Allah accepts the prayer, not that it is the face. And we had a dalil, and we have a dalil, which is the interpretation of the other ayah that we quoted in Surah Al-Baqarah, verse 148a, or a dalil that the Sunnah brought, whichever one it is. He said, verily, if you turn in that direction which Allah, in the Salah, which Allah Azza wa Jal accepts, and it is the direction which Allah accepts the Salah, then again you will find that this is there's the face of Allah Azza wa Jal. He says, so now then the meanings actually do not contradict, rather they go hand in hand. They're harmonious because the meaning is one and the same. The idea is that Allah Azza wa Jal encompasses His creation and there's nothing like unto Him, and you don't understand the names and the qualities of Allah as you understand those of the creation. And so whichever direction you face, it is there you find the face of Allah, because the Prophet ﷺ said when you pray that Allah Azza wa Jal is facing you. وَاعْلَمْ أَنَّ هَذَا الْوَجْهَ الْعَظِيمَ الْمَوْصُوفِ بِالْجَلَالِ وَالْإِكْرَامِ وَجْهٌ لَا يُمْكِنُ الْإِحَاطَةَ بِهِ وَصْفًا. Know that this face, the great face that was described as being full of majesty and honor, is a face which cannot be encompassed in description. You cannot describe it adequately. وَلَا يُمْكِنُ الْإِحَاطَةَ بِهِ تَصَوُّرًا, nor can you imagine it. You cannot encompass it with your imagination. بَلْ كُلَّ شَيْءٍ تُقَدِّرُهُ فَإِنَّ اللَّهَ تَعَالَى فَوْقَ ذَلِكَ وَأَعْظَمٌ. Nay, but whatever you imagine, whatever you assume concerning Allah, then verily Allah is above that and greater. Whatever you think Allah Azza wa Jalla is above that and greater. كَمَا قَالَ تَعَالَى وَلَا يُحِيطُونَ بِهِ عِلْمًا. As Allah says, but they will never encompass anything of His knowledge. I don't know if the time allows. طيب, we will leave that last portion, inshallah, dealing with the face, and then the next week, bidnillah Azza wa Jalla, if we all remain alive, we'll be dealing with the hands of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The hands. Hey. So, yeah. Alhamdulillah Rabbil Alameen, wa sallallahu alayhi wa sallam ala Nabiyyina Muhammad. Subhanakallahumma bihamdika, ashhadu an la ilaha illa anta, astaghfiruka wa atubu ilayk.